Are you stupid, Charlie Brown? What kind of a tree is that?
You are supposed to get a good tree. Can't you even tell a good tree from a poor tree?
I told you he'd goof it up. He's not the kind you can depend on to do anything right. You're hopeless, Charlie Brown. Completely hopeless.
Rats!
You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it.
What a tree!
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
I think everyone has seen that program. Well, it was first broadcast in 1965. Charles Schulz, who knows the Lord, he was the creator of Charlie Brown. And when he did the program, the director wanted to cut this part out and said it was too religious. There was a fight, and he had to basically say, if I can't have that part, I don't want the whole program. I'm just going to cancel it. And it was like, you know, the networks, and they gave in. And they allowed it. And thank the Lord for how many years since 1965 that little kids have heard the Bible, Luke 2. But, you know, back in 1965, our world is trying to change the meaning of Christmas and push the Lord away and more into various things. And there's a lot of good things. And I have some pictures here of gift giving. It's great because it really shows how God gave His Son, gave us a gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take our place at Calvary. But maybe we can overdo it. But is that the real root meaning of Christmas? It really isn't. The gift is what happened, but it really isn't. What about decorations? You know, Santa Claus, and look at that thing. It's huge. I got to get one next year. But, you know, they're fun, and we enjoy our kids seeing it. And I remember my uncle had a reindeers, like full plastic models of reindeers and Santa Claus, that I wanted to get up on the roof. But my parents never said, no, we'll put it on the ground here. So I wanted it up on the roof. So, and when I was a kid. But that's not really the meaning of Christmas, we know. What takes a lot of our time is the gifts and getting 70% off and Santa Claus and Black Friday and Cyber Monday and... This phone my brother bought, this is a business phone, it's actually called Black Friday, because my brother bought it on Black Friday real cheap. But we know that's not the real meaning of Christmas. But there's little things that happen over time. You know, where it used to be Merry Christmas, now people use Happy Holidays. Or when I grew up in school, it was Christmas break. Now it's winter break type things. Not everywhere, but just little by little. And how about using Xmas instead of Christmas? Maybe you've heard the story. Mr. Weeks, Bonnie's dad, who was a Christian school principal, and he asked a kid to go out and put on the sign, "Keep Christ in Christmas." Well, he came back in after a short time and said, "Mr. Weeks, I can't fit that on where you want me to put it." And then it was like a light went off. Mr. Weeks said that, "Hey, can I use Xmas instead of Christmas? I can fit it." You know, and you could think about Mr. Weeks chuckling, but then he maybe shaking his head, say, "Boy, he just doesn't get it," you know. So, but that's the big thing. Little by little, we take away. If we don't realize, we come back to the scriptures and what it is. We celebrate Jesus' birth. "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's really the meaning of Christmas. That's why he came. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave." There's your gift. But that's what Christmas is all about. Not just a baby in a manger and gifts, but the Lord going to Calvary to pay for our sins. 1 Timothy recently, we've talked about this from the platform. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom am I chief." Sinners, that's me, that's you. That's the Apostle Paul who wrote that. The whole world. We're all the same. And he came for all of us. So, the choir will sing Silent Night now.
some prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Behold, I will send a messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to see his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, Saint the Lord of hosts. And the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The people that walked in darkness have seen the great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. The vision of Israel concerning Judah and Jerusalem. For unto us a child is born, for unto us is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The word of the Lord came to Micah. Hear all ye people, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrath, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, for everlasting.
Thank you. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus.
There were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them and said, Do not be afraid. Ready to help mommy sing? Here we go. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds here are watching, or silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from the Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
This is a reading based on a true story of a young boy who had room for Jesus. It's called You Can Have My Room. Wally was 9 years old, and in this in the second grade, though he should have been in the fourth. He was big and clumsy. He was slow in movement and mind. But he was well liked by the other children in his class, all of whom were smaller than he. At times, the boys did have trouble hiding their irritation when the uncoordinated Wally would ask to play ball with them. He would stand by, not sulking, but hoping. Always a helpful boy, willing, smiling, and the natural protector of any child he felt was mistreated. As Christmas time approached, plans were made for the annual school pageant. Children were being assigned their parts: angels, shepherds, wise men, Mary and Joseph, and Wally stood by expectantly. And then suddenly his joy knew no bounds, for he heard the teacher say, "Wally, I want you to be the innkeeper." "Not many lines to learn," she reasoned, and his size would make his refusal of lodging to Joseph more forceful. Little did that teacher dream the lesson such a tender-hearted boy would teach all who would attend that program. And then came the rehearsals: manger, beards, crowns, and a stage full of squeaky voices. Most caught up in the magic of the night was Wally. He would stand in the wings of the stage, watching the performance with fascination. His teacher had to make sure he didn't wander on stage before his cue. And then came the long-awaited night, and Wally stood, holding a lantern by the door of the inn, watching as the children who portrayed Mary and Joseph came near him. "What do you want?" he asked with a brusque voice. "We seek lodging." "Seek it elsewhere. The inn is filled."
"Sir, we have looked everywhere in vain. We have traveled far and we are weary."
"There is no room in this inn for you." He looked properly stern.
"Please, good innkeeper, this is my wife, and she is heavy with child. She needs a place to rest. Surely you must have some small corner for her. She is so tired."
Now, for the first time, the innkeeper relaxed his stiff stance, and he looked down at Mary. With that, there was a long pause, and the audience began to become a bit tense.
"No! Be gone!"
the prompter whispered from the wing of the stage. "No! Be gone!" Wally responded automatically. Joseph sadly placed his arm around Mary, and Mary laid her head upon her husband's shoulder, and the two of them started to move away. The innkeeper did not return inside his inn, however. Wally just stood at the doorway, watching this forlorn couple. His mouth was open, and his brow creased with concern. And then his eyes filled unmistakably with tears. And suddenly, this Christmas pageant became different from all others. "Don't go, Joseph," Wally called out. "Bring Mary back." And Wally's face grew into a big smile. "You can have my room." A burst of laughter and then silence. And then tears flowed freely as the message came through to the listeners. Wally, the boy considered slow, had made room for Jesus. He could not turn Mary and Joseph away. God's only begotten son would be welcomed by him. His tender heart had made room for Jesus.
Oh.
Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds and the said one to another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, when the Lord is made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known their saying, which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard this marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and were told to them.
Mary was the night before Jesus came, and all through my house, not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laying on the shelf without care in hopes that Jesus wouldn't come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once even kneeling or bowing a head. And Ma, in a rocker, with baby on her lap, was watching the late show. Well, I took a nap. When out on the east there rose such a clatter, I sprang from my seat to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. When what to my wandering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright way, I knew in a moment it must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning, just like he'd said. And though I possess worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him, in spite of myself. In the book of life which he held in his hand was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, "It's not here," my head hung in shame. The people whose names have been written with love he gathered to take to his Father above. With those that were ready, he rose without a sound, and all the rest were left just standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rode out of sight. Oh, if only I'd been ready tonight. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all.
Matthew, excuse me, Matthew 2:1-12. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came a wise man from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophets, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the stars appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came to and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exciting great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own countries another way.
Goodwill, just a store for us to buy some used thing. A preacher founded the store Goodwill so he could bring help to the poor, to give, as he said, a hand up, not a hand out. But I remember at Christ's birth that the angels did shout what wonderful things God's plan was all about. No, not just the name of a store, but promises for so much more. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. These the Messiah brings. That was a message to shepherds, the one the angels did sing. God's plan was to give his son, that tiny babe in the manger, to rescue us from judgment of which we stood in danger. Although we deserve it, God didn't send Jesus to condemn. No, his goodwill was for our ways to amend, to change our thought that we rule, to know that he is truly Lord. Then eventually he would stop all evil, death, and war. Oh, the wonders God has in his good and perfect will. He wants to end pride and hate and with peace this earth to fill. But how can a holy, righteous creator of mankind be good to us when we're such sinners, so selfish and so blind? Well, the good news is that Jesus can take our sin away. The debt we owed to God was by his own blood paid, his perfect life given. Then victory after was won when the Father, raising him in power, proved he was his son. No sin could hold him down. He was guilty of none. So ask God today to forgive you, change your heart, receive the peace and good God longs to impart. The salvation we need was all won by Christ. At Christmas, his gift is still offered here to be forgiven and cleansed and to be his, loved and dear. He made you for his glory, for you his grace to choose. Jesus came to be Savior, to confess sinners, great news. Find his mercy over judgment, then live in his truths. For in finding God's plan, you will find your delight as you walk in his love and live by his might.
Well, I'm just going to talk about a few of the verses we saw, that we read and heard. And then we have a couple more readings, and then we'll close, just so you know. Well, we heard Matthew 1:21, "She shall bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." As we've heard, and just what we heard with Kate and the scriptures, that Jesus came to pay for our sins at Calvary. That's the real meaning of Christmas. He took our sins and paid for them there. Jesus, God himself, no beginning, no ending. In him all things consist. He stepped out of eternity, veiled his glory, and came to earth. He showed us his grace, mercy, and love. You know, in the Old Testament, they couldn't see God. Moses wanted to see him. He says, "No, you go around the corner and you can look behind me." We can't handle the glory of God. But So God wanted to show himself to us. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus. And all his life we could see the glory of God in the flesh. Stepped out of eternity. His plan to go to Calvary was not, it happened. Like he said too many things and then they took. That was the plan to begin with. That he would come and die. Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which interpret is God with us. With salvation, the nativity shows that God wants to be with us, wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to talk to us, and we could talk to him in prayer. Or just while we're driving down the road and just thinking of the Lord and meditating some of these things. So God wants a relationship. He wants to be with us. It's amazing. And she brought forth her firstborn son, Luke 2:7, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. As we saw, there's no room in this world, many, for the Lord. They didn't want to put Linus in Luke 2, and he's being pushed out, his own creation. But thank the Lord, there's many, millions that have the Lord in their heart. No matter of the circumstances, we have the Lord. Luke 2:10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. God came for all of us, not just a certain few. Rich, poor, young, old, ones that got saved when they were 3 years old and ones that got saved when they were 70, 80, 90 plus. You know, and so for all he came. Salvation's offered to all. That's really the meaning of Christmas. All these just right out of the verses.
Yes. I'm going to recite the touch of the Master's hand. And that came about and was written by a lady, and she was influenced by Matthew chapter 8, where a man covered in leprosy saw Jesus and called out to him, if you will, you can make me clean. And the Lord came over and said, I will, be thou clean. And he touched him. And that one touch restored him to his family, and it restored him to his community, to his wife, his children. It was the touch of the Master's hand. "'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer felt it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I given? Good folk, he cried, who will start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two, only two. $2, who will make it three? Going for three, but no. From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow, and wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody as pure and clear as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, in a voice now quiet and low, said, what am I bid for the old violin? And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, who will make it two? $2,000, who will make it three? And going once, and going twice, and going and gone, cried he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, we do not understand. What changed the worth? Quick came to the reply. 'Twas the touch of the Master's hand. And many a man with life out of tune, all battered and scarred with sin, is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the Master comes. And the foolish crowd never will understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the Master's hand.
Amen. We'll sing a couple verses of joy to the world.
Joy to the world. Don't forget Jesus. Christmas is a special time to reflect on Jesus Christ. The wonder of his lowly birth brings meaning to our lives. There really is no other reason we celebrate this day. The birth of God's precious Son and the life he willingly gave. But so much seems to distract us in the busyness of our lives. We lose our focus in all the happenings, not knowing we leave out Christ. We lose sight of the true meaning as we endlessly rush about, trying to find that perfect gift seems to cloud our Savior out. We need to stop and reflect a while, remembering our precious Lord, his birth, his life and sacrifice, and all that he stands for. For though the world may celebrate, seems though for other reasons, let's keep in mind that Jesus Christ is the true meaning of the season. It's the end of our program. Thanks for everybody that participated. And Paul, thanks for putting this all together for us. Wonder if we can just close in prayer. Father, thanks for your unspeakable gift. Thank you for sending your Son, Lord Jesus, for becoming a man, showing us the heart of God, your love for the world, and that you came to provide salvation and joy for all people, whosoever will. We do pray for any that have never really seen what a gift that you gave, that they would receive you and your gift of eternal life. We thank you. In your name, amen. Amen. Amen.